Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abai, and joining me today is my super killer organism twin brother, John Abaya.
You know the song, like, Fly Like an Eagle, performed by Seal on the Space Jam soundtrack, Ben?
Yes.
Yes, that's that song. That's the best song in the world.
Oh, nice. Nice, yes, callback. Yes. A reference, I guess. Not callback. People won't get that until if they actually watch the television show, Barry.
Yes.
But that's one of the better jokes in that episode, and you spoiled it
for everyone. Well, they don't know in context why.
Oh, yeah.
All they know is there's an actual bunny on the show that's playing basketball.
That's true, yeah. And then Michael Jordan's in there, too.
Oh, and Bill Murray.
Yeah. And who else is in that movie?
I have one up. Are we playing that one game where we can go back and forth who we can name in Space Jam?
Okay, let's do that.
I already said Bill Murray, so.
I said Michael Jordan.
Okay, no, but it's your turn, though.
What? But I said Michael Jordan.
I said so Bill Murray.
And I said Michael Jordan.
Okay, if you want to go to Larry Bird.
Larry Bird is in that movie?
Yeah.
Remember? I don't know his name. I want to say Jason Alexander, but that's the wrong Seinfeld actor.
I don't even know his name, too. I only know the guy. He's the guy from Jurassic Park. And we have the internet in front of us, but we're playing honestly here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I win on the points.
Damn it. Patrick Ewing, I think, is in that movie.
Yeah, he is. Patrick Ewing. Okay.
And how? I thought there was a Kings player that was in that movie.
Spud Webb, I think.
Spud Webb?
Spud Webb? How do you say his name?
Spud yeah, Webb.
Spud Webb? I think he was the... No, is it him or...
I don't know, actually.
There's a... what'd you call it? Short player that's in the team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know who. I forgot to. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the season one finale of HBO's Barry. I think we've talked about this show when it first aired several weeks ago. Now it's on its season finale pass a couple of days ago. So we're going to talk about that, and it's probably going to be a great talk if you watch Barry.
Mm-hmm.
But before all of that is our trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is Black Klansman.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
The KKK is planning an attack.
How do you propose to make this investigation?
We'll establish contact over the phone.
We'll need a white officer to play me when they meet face to face.
You for the white race, Ron?
Oh, hell yeah.
So there becomes a combined
Ron Stallworth.
Can you do that?
With the right white man, we can do anything.
That is a clip from Black Klansman, directed by and co-written by Spike Lee. It stars John David Washington, Adam Driver, Laurel Harrier, and Topher Grace. From IMDb, this is the plot synopsis. Ron Stallworth, an African-American police officer from Colorado, successfully managed to infiltrate the local Ku Klux Klan and became the head of the local chapter. John, are you a fan of Spike Lee? If so, what is your favorite film? And what's your thoughts about this trailer?
That's a lot of questions, Ben. Yeah, let me start. I am a fan of Spike Lee. I think one of my favorite... I mean, so Do the Right Thing is the first film I've watched from him. And that was only because I took film class. And that was like... I didn't know anything about Do the Right Thing. And
whoa, really? I didn't
yes,
know that.
And then we watched it. I was like, oh, this is such an awesome movie about racial relationship in New York and whatnot. Then, but one of my favorite ones, like recently, is The Inside Man. Is that one of his?
Yes, that is.
Yeah. So I really like the way that story is told. So that it's between that or Do the Right Thing, but I really like Inside Man a lot. But this trailer, before the trailer, I did not know this was, before the trailer, you told me this is based on a true story. All I was thinking about the whole time is the Dave Chappelle sketch they did similar to this, but more jokingly. I didn't know that was actually based on true story. And then they do that thing in this trailer too, where they says, you know, you can't believe this stuff is real or something. I forgot what was the actual words they used, but I was surprised this actually happened. I kind of want to just look this up now just to see what's the outcome. But I'm kind of excited just to see these, especially the protagonist of the movie. I never heard of him. His name is John David Washington, and you told me he's the son of Denzel Washington. I was surprised about that. So many surprises in this trailer. Yes, and then Adam Driver's in it. So those two people piqued my interest, just the way their chemistry on the trailer and whatnot. And then Topher Grace is playing David Duke. So that's interesting. Just to see him be in this type of movie. Yeah, I'm just wondering. It looks more like a playful, like kind of not playful, but a less serious tone is from the trailer, more comedic. So I want to see how that goes. I have that feeling of like, because at first I thought they're like changing history a little bit. I thought they're doing the Quentin Tarantino movie?
Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, yes. I thought they were doing the Inglourious Basterds type of narrative.
Or Django Unchained.
Yes, yeah, or Django Unchained, yeah. But nope, this is based on a true story. So yeah, I'm excited to watch it. I probably will watch this in the theaters when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I'm a huge fan of Spike Lee. I mean, one of the first films I watched from him was actually Malcolm X. And I watched that during my high school history class. Mm-hmm. And I remember in our class, there was only a handful of us that was very like interested in the film. And I think because it's a very long film, it takes like literally like probably 2 or 3 days to watch it, because, you know, high school classes are like literally only like 45 minutes long. But yeah, that was my first like introduction to Spike Lee. And ever since then, I like devoured most of his films, at least his more popular films, like Crooklyn, Clockers, Bamboozled, like his early, of course, like Do the Right Thing. I think the ones that you probably forgot, John, that he also made like films like 25th Hour. Have you watched that?
Oh, yes. The one with Edward Norton. That's a good one, too.
Miracle in St. Anne. I feel like it's an underrated
Yes, that was a good one, too. Yeah. I forgot about he made that.
So, yeah, there's a handful of games, films that people tend to forget, because there's certain styles he has when it comes to films. You have his, like, you know, Girl Six, Cockers, Crooklyn era of films where it's very, like Spike Lee's voice is in there. And then you have films like 25th Hour or Miracle in St. Anne's or Inside Man, too. That's very much like a studio film, but it has little touches of Spike Lee. He always has this really cool shot, the dolly running shot, where his characters are on a dolly, but they are supposed to mimic of them running or walking. Mm-hmm. But they're all literally on top of a dolly, and they're like getting pushed, having that style. But yeah, as for this trailer, yeah, I read the article. I think it's from Vice. I was looking it up right now, and it is from Vice, and it was profiling the cop, what's his name now?
Ron Stallworth.
And then like he pretty much like infiltrated the Ku Klux Klan with the help of his partners, and there's a lot going on in the trailer, but a lot of it is in that story too. And you get hints in the trailer from like what the article is, and I think he has also a book out too that basically it's like an autobiography about like what happened when he was the head of a Ku Klux Klan chapter. But yeah, I feel like everyone in this film piqued my interest, especially John David Washington, knowing that he's like Denzel Washington's dad. He has like a certain son. Pedigree. Huh? Son.
Dad.
Yeah. And then I love seeing Adam Driver doing these type of roles too. Like the last time I watched him, you haven't watched it yet, but I always recommend it, is Lucky Logan.
Oh, no, I watched that. I enjoyed that. Yeah. Tremendously, yeah.
Yeah, there's a really fun Game of Thrones scene in there.
Yep.
Having Topher Grace playing another villain, Is pretty cool. Like
what,
the last time I
Predator?
Liked him.
What other villain did he play? Venom. I forgot.
Yeah. That's the only one I know that he's ever
no,
played.
No, in
a villain.
Predator, he plays a villain too.
Oh, I never watched the new
the
one.
Predators?
Right?
I don't know what is it called. The one
it's
with
called
Robert
Predators.
Rodriguez. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch that one too. I mean, that's a while ago. Mm-hmm. That movie. I was like,
I just remember he was like, oh, he's a bad guy in this movie the whole time.
Are you sure that
Spoiler.
Was him in that movie?
Huh?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was him. I was trying to look.
He plays like a doctor, but he was like the only person ever in that movie. It's like convicts or something go on the planet, and they're wondering like, why is a doctor here? And it turns out he's like a crazy doctor.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, like looking forward to this, and then it premiered this I think today in Cannes, and it has a huge, rave reviews and whatnot. As I read them, so yeah. Then they, after this, they released the trailer because they already bought it. A studio already bought the film from Cannes, so that's kind of interesting altogether.
And they had that trailer ready.
Yeah,
the Focus Film has it ready.
Yeah, but that's Black Klansman, which is going to be out in August of this year. Oscar season and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on. John, you and I listened to something, but I'll let you talk about this for a bit. What have we been listening?
So you text me a link to an NPR, the Tiny Desk thing they do. What is it called?
Yeah, Tiny Desk.
Tiny Desk.
Concert. This, Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah, concert of this band. And the band is called Super Organism? Is that what I'm
saying? Yes.
Okay, yes. So, this is the first time it's not the first time I heard this band. I actually had, so I do this thing every year, 2008, on my playlist on my Apple phone. I keep all, in my little playlist is all the songs or even albums that I like throughout the whole year. And then I had this one song from them called Something for Your Mind. And I liked the way the melody and everything about it, the concept of everything. And then you told me about this band. I was like, okay, I'll listen. And then I listened to like five songs until it hit Something for Your Mind on the album. I was like, hey, this is that band I have on my playlist. I didn't even know it was them. And yeah, I kind of just fell in love with their music and stuff like that. It reminds me of very like a squishy or type of band. Like, so if you guys ever played Splatoon, is my best way to say it. Splatoon has this crazy sound that doesn't seem like it makes sense, but there's no words to it. And then if they can make words to it, I think Super Orgasm, or not Orgasm, Super Organism is the result of if there was words in it. They're very poppy, but it has that good feeling type of lyrics. Like there's songs like the first song, It's All Good. It's just very like it's poppy, but I don't know, that like the instruments are not like your instruments that you hear usually. There's a lot of digital effects, a lot of like samples from sounds around your where you're at, or at the atmosphere where you're at. Like I don't know, it's like the way they do their melodies is really good, and I really like the lyrics too. It's very fun, and just it still has like a not like a happy all the way, but they still remind you of things. I don't know, it's hard for me to explain, but I think if people want that type of like songs, I think like I said, it's like the Splatoon beat, but with really nice lyrics. I like the songs I really like in the album is It's All Good. That's one of my favorite ones. Something for Your Mind is really good. And Nobody Cares. I mean, so there's only 10 songs on this album, but I find myself listening to every one of them, like on rotation. I can listen to this album all day, just everything about it. And I forgot to mention too, like the group is made up of like seven individuals, or
I think seven or eight.
Yeah, seven or eight individuals, each with their like unique style. You can tell, like if you see a picture of them, each of them you can tell is a different type of persona. It feels like they give something to the band. I don't know anything about them. Like I don't know if one's really good at this instrument and stuff like that. But if you guys watch the NPR's Tiny Desk concert, they're literally just playing with like buckets and whistles, a bubble, or the song about the prawn. I think it's called the prawn song. And they play that song And then there's a part in the song where there's like bubbles. So someone has to do that where they're doing the bubble effect and whatnot. And it's kind of cool. I kind of want to watch this band live. And I think they're from London, right? Or they're like a...
No, they're actually... What's so fascinating about them, and this is from like their history, is that they all met on YouTube.
Oh, really? So they just like combined together?
Like the lead singer, Arano, her nickname is OJ. If you look at like the NPR Tiny Desk concert, she always has like a bottle of orange
soda. Oh, yes, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So her nickname is OJ. And apparently, like, she was like uploading her videos as singing and whatnot. And then they recommend it to her, like these artists. And then she liked these artists. I think a couple of them were like an actual band together. And then, yeah, they met through there. And then I guess that band went to Japan where OJ lives. And then they hooked up there. But she was like super young at the time. I think she was like a teenager, like 17 or so, mm-hmm. when they hooked up. And yeah, ever since then, they come from all over the world.
I've seen interviews, but I've seen how they all like speak. They all have like a certain dialect. Some of them have like a distinct dialect. That's why I thought they were London, because one of them sound like they're really like British. But yeah, when you're telling me that, I was like, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. Like the way they look, the way they're just the way they show themselves to people. Yeah, it's really cool. Also, I think I told you, it reminds me a lot of Yo Gabba Gabba, the songs. Yeah, that's on Yo Gabba Gabba. It's very like so this album I also listen to with my kids. Like I will put it on the radio, and there's I keep going back to the song, but it's a really good song for people just to yell. So it's all good. The first song, there's a part where they like pod and they say, it's all good, like that type of thing. And it's just really cool the way they do like a lot of their songs are like that. It's just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some of the places they all from is New Zealand, South Korea, Japan and the United States, and a couple of them are from the UK.
Oh, okay. I think maybe the ones I've seen was from.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a it's a collective of really talented people, and like the whole joke in one of the interviews is that OJ would say like they were all introduced with each other through the internet, and then she said like the algorithm does work. Yeah. That's so funny. That's YouTube algorithm. Helping artists work together, I guess you could say. But yeah, I think one of the big breaks also, like researching them, is that with Something for Your Mind was actually on like the FIFA 18 soundtrack, and it made them more exposed to like the world.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah, that is, I love this group. I think I might even once again put it in like the 18 freaking awesome.
I would agree that to that too.
Yeah. And then I feel like getting their introduction as that NPR Tiny Desk concert is a great way to be introduced by them, because you get to actually see them in their element. And once you see them use like the sound effects and whatnot, how they use that so well, I'm like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Like, this is something I've never seen before. And them having, like, a very poppy sound is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Super Organism. Their album is titled, I think it's self-titled.
Yeah, self-titled.
Super Organism. So it's their first album, which came out a couple weeks ago. And you can listen to any streaming app and whatnot. But we highly recommend watching their YouTube live versions of their songs. Especially Something for Your Mind and the NPR Tiny Desk concert.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So moving on to our main discussion. This week's main discussion is the television show Barry.
Okay, I can see you're upset.
I do not know if you'll be seeing Fuchs again. Walk away. Everybody's life will be better.
I'm done with all this.
Starting now.
My queen, the lord, my lord, the queen is dead.
That's, I can't, I just, I can't, I'm sorry.
I just got mine.
It's not even the fucking line.
That is a spoiler-free snippet of the trailer of Barry. Hopefully, you know, you don't get spoiled too much from it. So this past Sunday, the finale of the show titled Know Your Truth was this past Sunday, and which marks like the end of the show. And you and I have been huge fans of the show, and we want to take the time to talk about it because I feel like this show is very important when it comes to how to do a really good drama and comedy show and mix up those two genres really well while still like having that genre exist still. Like they're two separate genres, but they stand on their own really well. So the show was created by Bill Hader and Alec Berg. Alec Berg, if you know him, he's also partially created Silicon Valley with Judd.
Okay.
Yeah. And then starring Bill Hader, Steven Root, Sarah Goldberg, Glenn Fleshler, and Anthony Carrigan, and Henry Winkler. Once again, this is the IMDb plot synopsis. A hitman from Midwest moves to Los Angeles and gets caught up in the city's theater art scene. So we're going to start with you once again, John. Like, what's your thoughts, without spoilers, about the overall season and the finale? And did you come out appreciating and satisfied afterwards?
So when I think I first discussed this show on the podcast, I thought it would be like a straight comedy all the way, not with drama elements spread of sprinkled in basically throughout the show. But I was kind of wrong. It is a comedy still, but the drama elements are very heavy at times, and I didn't expect that at all throughout the season. Then I think the two, what do you call it, like the episode before the finale, the penultimate, I think they call
it. Yeah, penultimate.
That episode really changed my view of this whole show. Like, I like the characters a lot, especially the side characters, like the one that I think Anthony Carrigan plays, named Noho Hank.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Henry Winkle's character is really good, and Steven Root's character, and then his Bill Hader's like supporting person on the show that he really is the true reason why he wants to be a star or in acting. Sarah Goldberg really is good too. And then they introduced, like, later on, not introduced, but she became a well-rounded character too, played by her name, Kirby Howell bit. I can't even say her name.
I think so. That's how you say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, not her. Sorry. I can't even find her.
With the cop?
Yes, the cop. I can't even find her on IMDb no more. I feel bad.
It's Paula Newsman. Newsom.
Paula Newsom. Yes. Her character too. In the last three episodes, really changed her character dramatically, especially her story plot too. I really started liking her character a lot. But then those last two episodes really changed everything and changed my mind about certain aspects of the show that I felt like, oh yeah, it's Bill Hader, one of my favorite actors. I can support him all the way. And then after a while, you feel like this is a bad person and I don't know why I'm supporting him. In a similar way, you have that same feeling when you're watching Breaking Bad about Walter White, when he does stuff like you don't agree with. Even though it's helping his character, I feel like, he shouldn't be doing that at all. Like, I don't know why he did that. You lose kind of this hope that you feel in the very beginning of, like, or you lose faith in him of his character and getting his goal and everything. And you kind of, like, my feelings are, like, I'm turning against him. Like, I don't want this for him at all. I hope everything just gets destroyed now and everything because the way he's acting and everything, but they still pull you in with the lightheartedness of it. And there's still, I think the one person, Henry Winkle character, is a great addition to her, just because he is the funny dude that is known to be funny guy throughout, since I've known him. Besides, I never really have watched Happy Days, so I have no opinion about that. But yeah, he's really good still on it. And like I said, the Anthony Carrigan character, but yeah, the finale really just shocked me. They expect everything. It is very similar to the style of Breaking Bad, of like these little things they foreshadow throughout the season, and then it haunts the character in the back in the ending, and just, you know, it just really changes the whole perspective that you have with these characters, and or especially, I mean, not these characters, but Bill Hader's character. Yeah, but I'll still continue watching it. The best part about the show, it is 30 minutes long, and it's, most comedies are like that, and I really enjoy that small format because it's like in and out. If it was more dramatic, yeah, I'd still probably watch the hour long, but because these are just very like 8 episode contained story, yeah, I'm willing to watch it again next season, and I really can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with many people on the internet where they said like sometimes like they don't probably need a second season. This actually kind of fits well about like how his character has evolved. Mm-hmm. And like that last moment, I feel like, oh wow, this is like doesn't need a second season. I feel like this is a closing book type of feeling. Like this is it. Because you kind of
the show is in chapters, and this is at the end of book one.
Well, no, do you know why it's in chapters though?
I don't know why. Why
is it? You don't like what's best about the show is that it's mirroring John Cusack's book, Make the Unsafe Choice, and each chapter is from that book.
Wait, what? The one they talk about throughout the show?
That's
a real book.
Okay. No, that's not a real book, but that's from each chapter. Remember, there's like an episode where they talk about like a chapter, and it's the name of the same episode.
Yeah, but I thought that was just that episode. I didn't know it was an actual chapter. No,
I'm pretty sure that's what the reference is. These chapter titles, yeah.
I did not know that.
Like, go back and look at all the chapter titles. It makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Like, it is. It feels like a self-help book, kind of, when you're reading the chapter.
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah. But I remember watching the first episode, and I thought to myself, like, Bill Hader is a great actor.
Yes.
He has the ability, it's like, to tightrope between, like, a skilled, merciful assassin to, like, this empathetic yet, like, melancholy nice guy. That's kind of cool to see unfold in your eyes. And it's pretty unbelievable overall because he does it so seamlessly. Like, you don't, like, the way he does it was like turning off his like assassin side to his like actor side is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Overall, I like it thematically, how Barry, no pun intended, like hits its marks, the show itself. I was like pleasantly surprised about how well like the finale wrapped up. It's satisfying, yet like it felt like something that could conclude like a great novel in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And as for everything else, like from the writing and filmmaking to the cinematography, it's all like impeccable. Like they hire once again the Atlanta director Hiro Mercury. I'm saying his name wrong all the time, but like he's done a couple episodes. He did one of the other. I think he did like the last like.
I think that penultimate one he did.
Yeah, yeah. And you can tell like that his style. Name, I was like,
oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, it reminded me of that style too. And I like how like the amount of subtlety the whole show has. Also like the detail at the same time. It's like very admirable to see that. And how much they dissect it. Like how this one person says something and it comes back referenced a couple episodes later. And it's like the humor is very... it's not self-aware, but it's very like it's up in there. Like it's their game is really high when it comes to their humor. It's really cool to see how punchlines are the way they do punchlines when it comes to like certain jokes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was laughed like one moment I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? Like this is really bad. And then the next moment you're like laughing because. There's like certain character moments that's really memorable, especially with like the villains.
Oh yes,
these
aren't
your ordinary villains. I just have to say. Mm-hmm. But overall, yeah, I think we both recommend. I think we're gonna do a spoiler We'll do a spoiler right after the episode, like so after the our theme song.
Okay.
We'll talk about it a little bit more, like what you guys did with Infinity War. We'll do that here. But yeah, I think we're in agreement that Barry is really great, right?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So that's Barry on HBO. You can watch it right now if you have any of the HBO subscription apps, HBO Now or HBO Go. But we highly recommend it. It literally takes like only like probably a whole day's worth. It's about 8 episodes and each episode is 30 minutes. So it's about like almost a whole film you're watching.
Yep. Yeah.
Like a little bit like almost 4 hours film. So yeah, like we recommend it. Anyway, John, before we leave, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find also The Freaking Awesome at Twitter and Facebook. Twitter will be TFA Now and Facebook will be The Freaking Awesome. If you want to email us, we have an email, which is contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Please send any recommendations or anything, questions or whatnot. Before we leave, remember we have a little bit like a 3 to 4 minute spoiler cast. So hopefully after the credits or after the theme music, you'll stay if you've watched the full Barry. If you haven't watched Barry, watch it first, then come back and listen to that portion of it. But anyway, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It starts now.
So, and your whole life has changed, Ben.
What? But anyway, this is the spoiler section of the podcast. Thank you for joining us still. Anyway, we're just going to talk about Barry more and then more of spoilers in the zone. So if you haven't watched it, once again, don't listen to this part of the episode. But John, let's really quickly, like, who were your favorite characters? What were your favorite moments? Give us a couple and I'll share mine.
No Ho Hank is probably my favorite character in the show. He plays the best friend-ish type character of Barry that we don't know, but we love, basically.
He has like a very buoyant like attitude, optimistic.
I like in the very ending where he gets to be the kingpin or whatever you call it, the head guy now, and he's very like natural in it. It's like, oh no, you guys mingle. Go ahead with the Bolivians. Just mingle around, like, you know.
No,
he wants everyone to be happy.
But he has the sense, like he has this LA attitude, like LA Hollywood attitude in a
mobster
underground crime organization. Which is kind of cool, like the juxtaposition of that. And like one thing that's really great is his text messages to Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like the first couple episodes. It was really funny. Like I kept on laughing when I see that. That's a really good like visual joke that worked really well throughout the series, I think. What else do you have?
So my favorite moments, my favorite moment by far is when Barry was with Sally and they did the, I don't know what play is it. It's Macbeth, I think, right? And then
it is Macbeth.
But he only has that one line where he says like, some murder is in the castle, something like that. But because before that scene, they did, I don't know what exercise is that, where you have to take the words and you have to use it dramatic. Like you just change your attitude.
They mention it. It's like a repeating exercise.
Yeah, yes. But it's the way the person says the word to you. You have to draw your emotion with that. And then the way he said it, because he just killed one of his friends, I think it's Chris, played by Chris Marchetti. That's an insane thing. So before I talk about that scene, this scene with the car was one of my most like intense scene. Because when you see that car pull in, and I was like, uh-oh, what's happening here? Like, for a moment there, I was like, oh, this is going to happen, really. Barry is literally just waiting for that car to leave so he can shoot Chris because Chris said the wrong words. Like, you could tell. Yeah. Like, and Chris was trying to back out of it, and then he ends up killing him. And the way they show killings in this thing is they don't really show Barry actually killing the people that you like. It's all...
Off camera.
Everything's off camera. Because I don't know. I don't know if I can, like, actually see him kill someone that... You actually don't, as innocent, and, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the thing. But after that scene, he goes to the acting studio to do that little scene with her. And that's one of the best acting I've ever seen Bill Hader done before on anything. Just very powerful the way, and even especially the stuff after that when Henry Winkle's character trying to console him and he's still in the moment. But yeah, it's a great scene. It's one of my favorite things I've watched this year, just seeing that scene.
That I will say that is one of my favorite moments too in the show. I think one of the other favorite moments, and I think it's the way they directed it, and I think I've never seen it done this way, was when they were going to the cartels in their truck with the Marines.
Oh yes.
And you see actually like the bullets shooting at you hear the bullets shooting at them.
Reminds you of PUBG, huh?
When
you
hear that. Yeah, but no, but like the reaction, like the late reaction, not late, literally, but like the physics of it is that those bullets, you won't see it until it hits you.
Yes, it's like lightning and thunder, basically.
Yeah. So it's like kind of eerie, and it felt very uncomfortable to see that because you're like, wow, this is like, I've never seen it in this point of view, this perspective.
Mm-hmm. Especially that shot is shot behind the whole time.
Yeah, it's shot behind. And when it tumbles and it goes to the black screen, I was like, wow, this is really powerful stuff right now.
And then the next episode literally opens up with them and they're
The point of view of the cartels.
Yes, the cartels. That. Yes. And then that's insane too because you get to see that exact same scene but play out in real life. Like, I wonder if they did that scene like that. Like, actual, that's a hard scene. I mean,
no, they can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, it's edited. You'll see the cameras. That's an insane way to do that.
I think it's really well, direction and whatnot. It's directed really well. That's why. And it makes sense why Hero had to, like, direct it, those episodes back to back, because it has to look seamlessly. I think that's why. Mm-hmm. Another great moment, I think, was also when the tension between always when the last moments of when what's her name's
Detective DeJanis.
Yeah, and when they're in a dinner scene, and I love that because right before that, you throughout the show you get these daydreams that Barry has,
the daydreams.
You can't tell totally which one's real. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm like, are they showing the future right now?
Yep, same here. I thought those were flash forwards the whole time.
Yeah, I thought those were flash forwards too. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool if that was it. But it wasn't. They were all daydreams. Mm-hmm. And then in the last episode, in the final like 5 minutes, you thought that was a daydream.
So the way before that scene, it ends with Barry, it ends with the newscast, right? Like they say, they caught them and stuff, and Sarah's and Bill Hader's characters were discussing, oh, I want to do this comedy with you and whatnot.
Yeah.
Then after that scene, it goes dark for a good 10 seconds. Yeah. And you're like, what is happening? Like, is this... For a moment there, I thought my HBO thing is broken or something like that. I was like, the second before I picked up the remote just to see if it still worked, it comes back on. But you're in this like... this forest area, like a cabin or something like that.
It was John Console's cabin.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, like that. And then, like, if you listen to like the episode after the little, when they talk about like the episode, they didn't put two to two together after they wrote the script. They were like, oh, yeah, I remember we mentioned this when we talked to Henry Winkler's character. And then, like, that's how you could, like, put them together. And it reminded me of a very Breaking Bad moment when his brother-in-law finds out. And I was like, this is, it sort of has this, like, really good payoff. And that these writers are taking everything really seriously. And
it felt like Vince Gilligan was the... writer of this episode for some reason.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, I think that's it for now for our moments. But
predictions?
No.
Huh? No, predictions for next season.
I wish that this is doesn't have a second season. I wish that this was it. I did like how his name is Barry Berkman, and it reminds me of Walter White.
You know, his name was Barry Block.
Block. No, that's his actual name. His actual name is Barry Berkman. Yeah. Which is funny because the irony is that Barry Berkman does sound like a movie star name, too.
Yes.
But yeah, once again, that's Barry, and hope you guys enjoyed the television show as much as us. But yeah, all right. See you guys.
You're in charge of what you feel, and when your life is looking real grim, it's time to scream.